Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Throughout the week, I was trying to get off this message to something else, but God kept bringing me back here. Some of y'all wonder why I say that. I don't know. It's just a preacher thing. It's weird. You're always trying to get out of, you're trying to push away and make sure it's God. It's kind of like laying out the lambskin before God to see if that's what it really is, because you don't want to preach something on your own. You'd rather have God in it. So God kept pressing me back here. And if you had asked me yesterday at about probably 9 o'clock in the morning, this would be just fire, just straight fire. I see myself running and preaching this. But today, I feel a little bit different. It's just, I don't know what's going on, but today I feel a little bit like unsteady. So y'all just be praying for me as we'll, I've been praying the whole morning that God just, you know, kind of like let me get out of the way and him get in it. So y'all just pray that way. Luke 17. There's a lot in this. There's so much in this message that reminds me of where I was. Reminds me of where I was before Jesus met me. And I don't like to make messages about myself. I'm trying to get away from anything like that. So I want you, hopefully there will be some people in here this morning that you can see yourself maybe outside of Christ or before you were in with Christ. See how this goes. Y'all ready? I talked to that last 2 or 3 minutes to get y'all to the chapter and verse. So, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. Is that what y'all are seeing? That he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The midst. Take that word and underline it right there. Maybe make a note right above the midst. Make that between. Okay? Between. You okay? Between. The greatest ministry you'll ever do is between your house and church. Amen? Amen. It's the place between. It's between your house and your workplace. It's between your house and where you go to school. It's between your house and vacation. It's between, in the middle of those places. If you don't have a ministry outside of church, you need to be, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to start thinking and praying and saying, God, open my eyes to the place that you would have me to minister. This is a worshiping place. This is a feeding place. This is a place where you come to corporately let God know that you love Him, to be edified, to strengthen each other, and to go out better than you came in to the ministry that lies between here and your home. Amen? Jesus always did more work between where He was living and where He would go to worship. Amen? Jesus did more miracles outside the church than He did inside the church. Always remember that. We need to, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to remember that we are the body of Christ. If we are the body of Christ, then we are the hands and feet of the head, which is Jesus. And the last time I seen hands and feet do stuff. Amen? If not, we need a handicap sign for every parking spot out there because hands and feet have stopped doing what God wants us to do. So guess what? You need to open your eyes and your mind and your heart to situations that are going on in places where you go. Amen? God will lend... Listen, I worry about people. I've always worried about people who are always seeking a platform instead of seeking the will of God in their life. Let me put it this way. God always used the great men and women of the Bible, the ones who turned down the opportunity to lead first because they didn't think they were worthy yet. And they also were like, no, that's not my position. I would rather do something out here. Don't worry about God can get you to the places you want to go to if you'll get in the places where He wants you to go to. Man, y'all are so quiet. Y'all are just listening, right? Y'all are just intently listening. Golly, I hope that's the charge this morning. Verse 12, and he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I was thinking about this morning. This is exactly where a lot of people are today. Jesus came up, and they were on the outside of the gate. Guess what? If you're not saved, you're on the outside of the gate. You're outside the gate of the physical city, but you're also outside the gate of the spiritual city. Amen? But guess what? It still feels the same. I got to thinking about that outside the gate. When you're young, when sin for a season seems good, you'll go outside the gate. You know what I mean? You'll find places to go hang out outside where nobody can see what you're doing. But if you're not careful, if you continue long enough, you'll stay out there. Amen? You'll stay outside the gate. And I got to thinking about the people who were outside the gate. It's funny, even in sin, there's cultures and subcultures. The drunk always looks at the person hooked on heroin and says, "Man, at least I'm not that guy." Amen? At least I'm not them. And then you'll even find some people on the outside that were out there and they're hanging out and they were raised in church, so somehow they think they're a little bit better than the people who aren't. I've met drunk Baptist, drunk Church of God, drunk Methodist, and they all argue about which one's doctrine's right as they're getting drunk. Amen? It's amazing. I always like to say it this way: God has no drunk prophets. Amen? They might be prophets, but they're not drunk ones. Amen? He'll sober you up first. But they'll all sit outside the gate and they'll got their little thing, you know, where, hey, I was raised here and I was good there and I was done like that. I played sports. I was popular in high school. I did all this. And then there's that one guy, though, in the crowd. He's a Samaritan in this group. But he's that one guy who had a leg up on everybody when it come to sin. God. Man, I wish I had about two or three in here this morning. It seemed like you had a head start when it come to sinning. That was, man, it was like when I was coming up, nobody got to spend the night at my house, very rarely. You know what I mean? I could go to David's house, I could go to Shane's house, but every once in a while we would come in with those convict looks on our faces. Hey, can Shane and David spend the night at my house? And they, you know, the parents' wheels and minds were grinding, trying to come up with reasons while they couldn't, right? While there's no way possible that they could go to our house. And just every blue moon, I mean, it would just, I know they were probably going into a nervous rage fit because somehow, some way, maybe just the planets line up, they would say, "Yes." And we would all look at each other in disbelief. And they would all think, I'm telling you, I didn't overhear every conversation, but they would say stuff like this: "When you get over there, if something's going on that you don't want to happen, call, I'll come get you." But the thing that they didn't know about was when we got over to my house, what I wanted to do was just be normal, but some of those guys were like, "Why don't we sneak out? Why don't we go do this? And why don't we go do that?" And I'm like, "We only get one shot at this. We can't ruin it on the first shot." And they thought that I was the biggest problem. But sometimes the best ones are the worst problem. No, I'm sorry. I ratted some of y'all out. Some of y'all are in here right now. Your mom's like, "Yo, don't let them rub off on you." And they're sitting there going, Yeah, right. But there was this Samaritan, man. He had a head start on everybody. He was never raised in church. He didn't know about the Bible. He wasn't looking for the Messiah. He wasn't listening to God. He didn't go to synagogue. He didn't go to the temple. He was just sitting over there. Man, he went to the party and he stayed too long. Whew. Y'all got to every once in a while just say, "That was pretty good right there." Because some people go to the party and they just stay too long. Amen? And they end up staying outside the gate, and everybody looks at them and they go, "Man, he just keeps partying. She just keeps partying. They just keep trying to party." And if you'd ask them, they'd say, "The party ended long ago. The party's over, and I know it. I just don't have any other identity." And the Samaritan, he's sitting out there. It's like us that we had a leg up. He's just sitting outside the gate, and he thought there was no hope. But then he's hanging out with the people who were, you know, they were the same situation, but maybe just a little bit better off, came from a better background. And they would tell him, "Man, at least I'm not you." I mean, it could be so bad. Look at him. He's a Samaritan. Look over there. "Man, look at that guy. Look at that girl. At least I'm not her." Amen? But you know what the problem was? All 10 of them had the same problem. Leprosy. What I love about the story about leprosy is it has more direct connection to sin than any other disease. It's a long lasting. It can last your whole life. It gets in your flesh and everybody can see it, and it can see it deteriorate who you are. And guess what it does? It separates you from everybody. Sin for a season draws everybody to you, but after a while, it separates you and isolates you and keeps you on the outside looking in. You want to come in, but you can't. I mean, they're sitting outside the gate and they're looking into the city. And they're like, man, remember when we used to hang out in the city? Yeah, but we can't go in there. It's not normal for us. I don't care how good some of us feel, and I don't care how bad some of us feel. We're stuck out here. And it just happened to be that Jesus came by. I love that, don't you? Aren't you glad that it has stories in the Bible that Jesus just doesn't worry about the righteous? He just doesn't try to find a couple of people and make them His. He's looking for the sickest of the sick, the broken of the broken, the lost of the lost, and He doesn't mind engaging them. Man, He walks by, and these guys that are on the outside, I don't know what they were thinking, but they see Him. And they're at a distance. They're at the distance from the gate. They're at the distance from all the people. And they're at a distance from Jesus. But they do something radical. They do something radical. Some of y'all need to do something radical. And if you wait very much longer, you're going to have to do something radical. It's radical for this church, I know. But you're going to have to cry out. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of y'all, everybody in here, I'm going to be honest. Y'all look good. So it might not happen today for you. But if you ever get into that spot where you don't know if you're going to make it, if you're thinking about you're hanging between death and life, if you're thinking about suicide, if you're thinking about overdose, if you're thinking about nobody care, you're thinking you're all alone, you're thinking you're by yourself, cry to God. It won't hurt. It won't hurt you at all. Just cry out to God. Cry out. I mean, I'm talking about, listen, you ain't got nothing else to lose. You've lost everything. You're about to lose everything. The devil is all in your ear, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. The best way to get out of all this is to end it. And he just knows if you get to eternity, it ain't over. It's just beginning. He's a liar. So if you're listening to a liar, the liar is saying it's going to be over. It's going to be over. Get this over with. And guess what? It just begins in eternity. You just wake up, and guess what? Everything's for real now. Forever. That's his lie. And the devil just ended. And you're like, no. But you know what? These 10, all 10 of them, they know who Jesus is. You know what I'm saying? If you're in a bad enough situation, listen, I want you to get this very clear. I do not believe in atheists. I don't. I don't believe in them. I've never met a true atheist. Amen? Somebody says, I know some atheists, they don't believe in God. They will fight you tooth and nail. They'll fight you tooth and nail over something that doesn't exist. Come and talk to me about Santa Claus. You can tell me all you want to. I'm not going to get you in a fight with you. I'm going to tell you, hey, I don't believe in it. I just believe it's a guy that needs a job real bad, and he's going to stay down at the mall for a while, and he's going to hear what you've got to say, but I don't believe he's going to come to your house on Christmas Eve and climb through your chimney, even if you don't even have one. Just saying. And the Easter Bunny, he's a cool guy and all. Hope I'm not ruining it for everybody. Cool guy and all. I just don't believe, and I'm not going to fight you over it. Tooth Fairy, I know who it is. I know exactly who it is. I'm ruining it for everybody. I'm sorry. But Jesus, I'll tell you something. I've met some people who say, I don't believe in Jesus. And you tell them Jesus is real, and they will get in your face. And if you ever mention Him, we'll do this, we'll do that, and we'll try to get rid of you. Why are you fighting so hard against something you don't believe in? You're fighting so hard because you know in the heart of your heart that He does exist, and you've been fighting against Him your whole life. And if you would just surrender, you'll find, you know what? Sometimes those people right there, though, when they come falling down, they come down hard. They come down hard for God. You know what I mean? You ever met somebody who got saved? I used to work with this guy at Georgia Pacific. He wore all black all the time, even in the summertime. And that job was hot. I mean, it's corrugated wood. I mean, we're in there, and it's like 120 degrees. And this joker's wearing black pants, black shirt, black hoodie, black hat. I'm thinking, geez. I mean, I know you're down for the black, but goodness gracious. It's hot in here. Because I don't care. I hate everybody. We had this crazy boss who kept every break would come out to him and give him a snack and say, man, I love you and God loves you.
And he would walk away, and I could hear the guy. This is before, way before I got saved. He goes, I hate that guy. He's an idiot. I'm like, God, this guy's tough. He's hard. He's hardcore. Black boots, black pants, black socks. And then one day, man, out of the clear blue, the guy come to work in a pair of khaki pants and a striped shirt. I didn't even have to ask, what's going on with you? At David Powers, that manager, kept telling me, guess what? I end up going to his church. Next thing you know, I find myself in the altar. Guess what? I'm a believer in Jesus. Oh, I could tell. Hey, you're looking good. Is it cooler in here to you? Yes. It's amazing. That's how God works. Amen? But those people, you think, man, they're fine so hard. Guess what? They're the ones who come down the hardest. But guess what? All 10 of these guys, they were sick and tired. I wish you'd get sick and tired of sitting in your sin. I wish you'd get sick and tired of it. They're sitting on the outside looking in, wondering, what's the big deal? Why is everybody so happy? Why is everybody talking about Christ? Why is everybody asking me why I don't need him? Or do I have him? Why? What is the big deal? There's a big deal. When you find out, you find out. Amen? Well, let's see what it looks like. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's a good prayer for anybody. Just cry out for the mercy of God. He's rich in it. He's rich in mercy. Aren't you glad I say that? He's rich in mercy. And when he saw them, good Lord. Church hardly ever looks at real problems, but Jesus does. He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Do you see the run? Do you see the run? Some of y'all need to run to Jesus, not walk. Do you see the run? All 10 of them got up, and it looked like the start of a marathon. All 10 of them. Go to the priest and show yourself. And I bet one of them was running, and he was thinking, I was raised in the church. Man, I'm a good runner. I can't believe I finally got that one thing that was just missing. I just needed the blessing, and I'll get. And he goes, this is who I am. I just needed a little bit of Jesus. Just a little bit added to me, and I was okay anyway. I was practically saved without him. I was practically in heaven already. I just needed a little bit of just a nudge. He's running. He is who he is. And then once where I came from, I was raised in the church. Man, I was doing so good, and I I left God. I got hurt in the church, and I walked out on God, and I left him. You know, I don't really need that much help either, because that's where I came from. I see people, man. One time I was at a recovery center, and there was this one guy, I probably told you this before, he had never read the Bible before in his life. I said, turn to the book of John. First, his hand shot up. He said, who's John? That's rare in America, right? I said, all right, turn to the book of Mark. Hand goes up. Who's Mark? You're like, man. This is awesome. I said, go to the table of contents. What is that? So you know what I said? I said, I know what I'll do. I'll take some of the people that I know that have been in the church, and I'll make them help Randy out. I'll say, I'll get them to help Randy. So I said, is there anybody in here who's been raised in church or been around a church? Please go get on one side of the room. I need some of y'all to partner up with some of these guys who don't know anything about the Bible. And about that time, the whole room got up and left, and Randy's the only one sitting there. 80% of the people in that program had been raised in church. And then I'd done the stupidest thing I ever thought about doing. I said, if you're in the Methodist church, please sit down. If you're in the Church of God, please sit down. If you're in the Baptist church, you go sit down. And the whole doggone classroom went and sat down. And some of y'all are sitting there going, we're not a Baptist church. No, but I come down closest to. I believe it. I believe the message. I believe the doctrine of Baptist. I believe once saved, you're always saved. I believe that some of us get lackadaisical and say, well, since I'm saved, I'll just live any way I want to. God will just have to get over it. That's just not how it works.
You might not like that, but God is a God who, when He takes over something, He's Lord of it. And if He can't change it, He'll break it. If he can't change it, He'll break it. If He can't make you, He'll break you. And if you're not getting broken by God, and you're not changing to God, you might want to check up on your profession and see why there's no possession. They're on the run. There's one guy going, my family was a good family, and I've never stole, and I've never lied, and I've never cussed, and I've never done a lot of stuff you were doing. Ain't it amazing how sin will bring you into a company of people? The running of the sinners, all running to Jesus with leprosy. But on the way, as they were running, He said, go show yourself. As they were going to the religious place, I think sometimes we run to church, but we never run to Jesus. We get to church, but we never come to the one church is about. There was that one Samaritan. God, there was that one Samaritan. That Samaritan, he was running with him, probably in the back. Probably in the back. Looking at, oh God, I'm changing. I'm changing. Wait a minute, I know why he changed Ezekiel. I just made that up. I know why he changed Daniel. Somebody else give me another Bible name. I know why he changed David. I know why he changed all the Jewish boys. I know why he changed all the good ones. He's running in the back. He's like this. He's running in the back. And he's like, but he's changing me too. He's a Samaritan. He didn't belong in the religious group. And he's kind of like, I know this old term. This is what they used to call me. He's a heathen. If you ain't even been into trouble, ain't nobody ever called you a heathen. Don't you be running around with that heathen Shelton boy. I'm serious. Heathen. And if you get it good, you get the heathen. Right? Heathen. But this heathen, I don't know where he was in the pack. I hope he was up front. I don't care where he's really at, but he did one of these, Chris. He did one of them. I don't know if y'all in the front seen that. He turned around. He started running back to Jesus. Jesus told him to go to the priest. But somewhere in the midst of his healing, he realized he was the priest. He was sending him to somewhere physical, but he needed something spiritual. See, I think he was running at that point with tears in his eyes. I believe he was running back with his heart beating faster than it's ever beat in his whole life. And I believe he was saying, oh my God, I know you would save them, but I didn't think you would save me. I knew you would let everybody else in, but I didn't think you was going to let me in. I was on the outside. I was the worst one. I was the one that nobody wanted to let in. But here I am outside the gate. Now I'm in. It seems like you're opening the gate for me too. I seem God, like Jesus, you're opening the door for me just like you opened the door for everybody else. And I don't want to run to the temple, and I don't want to run to the priest because I never went to them anyway, but I will run back to the one who saved me and the one who made me whole. I will run back to you every time, and I will let you know that I am grateful. When is the last time that you ran back to Jesus and said, I am grateful for you letting me in? I didn't deserve it. I was never good enough. I was almost not good enough. My parents weren't good enough. My raising wasn't good enough. I'm not good enough without you. Without you, there's nothing. So I'll turn around and I'll run to the priest who makes me whole. And he ran back and he falls on his face before Jesus. And Jesus, he says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I don't know why you showed me mercy, but you did. I don't know why you showed me grace, but you did. And you're the one I want to run to. You're the one that I want to be in front of. You're the one I want to follow. I love it. The worst ones usually make the best ones. Amen? But it don't have to be that way. Because if all nine of them would realize, they were just as bad. But they're still running back and they're thinking, man, I'll get my life back. And one guy says, I hope I never get my life back. I don't want my life back. I never want my life back. There's been a few times since I've been saved that the devil whispered in my ear and said, man, you can get this back. And I start thinking, man, that was a cool time. And then I start thinking, but wait a minute, I know how it ends. Some of y'all need to get the fast forward button on the VCR. And I know some of you right now don't know what a VCR is, but I don't like you either. I know how it is now, but I want you to realize sometimes you need to fast forward what the devil does. Some of y'all, you run into somebody and you think they're the best thing that's ever happened to you. All you got to, if they're asking you to do things that are outside this Bible and outside the things that your family's been teaching you that are biblical truths, and you got to realize you need just to fast forward it a little bit and say, I know how this ends. For the wages of sin is death. So if I'm going to do sin, I'm going to end up having to pay some death. But I love what he does. He runs back. And Jesus answering said, "He, if you notice, the only person that's having a conversation with Jesus is the person who came back and him kind of embarrassed himself and laid out in front of Jesus in a prostrate manner in a way and gave thanks. But he's having a conversation with God. Don't be laughing at somebody when they're laying before God and weeping and looking broken, because at the same time they're talking to God and you're not. I see people come to the altar and they say, I wonder why they keep coming to the altar. I wonder why they keep worshiping. I wonder why they keep weeping. I wonder why they keep coming. Well, guess what? They're talking to God. They're not talking to you. He said, man, they always seem like they have problems. Yeah, they have problems in the church, not outside the church. See, you're bringing your church, your problems to church, but you're not taking them with you home. See, some of you, you're amazing at what you do. I don't mean to prolong the message, but I will. Some of y'all are amazing at what you do. You get your suitcases and you bring them to church with you. They're loaded up with your sin and your guilt and shame and blame. And you load them up and you bring them. You pack them up so neatly, though, because we could barely recognize them in here, because you hide them really well. And inside the suitcases that you have, they look really good. They might have a good print on the outside, but they're just junk. And they're hard to carry, aren't they? You've been carrying them for so long. You're carrying the drinking. You're carrying the lying. You're carrying the pornography, the guilt, the shame, the blame, the hurt. Some of you don't even know why you keep falling back into the same sin, because you never relinquish control of it. You just bring it to you to church, and you set it in your seats just like you do your children and your family. And at the end of church, you just pick them up and you walk out of here with them. And you're thinking, well, it'll get easier to manage because I went to church. But come to find out, it's harder because you came to church, but you didn't seek Jesus, and you didn't ask him to help you with it. So now you're carrying the guilt and the shame even more, and you're still carrying your baggages. And some of you are special, and you're spiritual, and you come to the altar, and you bring your stuff, and you lay it down before God, and you tell everybody, I'm giving it to God. I'm never taking it. I'm never giving it back to him. I'm never going to take it away. I'm going to just lay it on the altar. And yeah, but as you're going back, you kind of kick it with you. You might not take it all back with you, but you might as well take it all back, because if you take some of it back, all of it's coming. I'm preaching. That's why I'm not looking at you, because I know this is real. And you just kick it back to your seat with you, because some of those sins are comfortable, and you kind of like them, if you wouldn't be just totally lying to yourself. And you would kick them back up under your bench, and you take that one carry-on bag back to your car, and you start to do that. And next thing you know, just like the airport, somebody will come to your house and say, oh, we found your luggage, and here it is. Thank you. I believe that's true, though, because I do it. I'm not somebody who has done it. I do it sometimes. I'll say, God, I'm never going to do this, and I'll dump it all on God, and he's graceful and merciful to take it, and he'll cast it as far as the east is from the west and forget about it. But the problem is I keep bringing it up. It's not God. It's me and the devil. That's who keeps bringing it up. But once you give it away to Jesus and walk away, you'll walk away free. You'll be whole. And he's having a conversation with Jesus. Some of y'all need, see, I know what I'm preaching right here is true, is because some of y'all look too good after you leave church. I can tell that you kept it all together at church because you didn't want to look a fool. Your mascara is still on, hair is still straight, clothes still neat. But if we can't get wrecked here, where else in the world can we get wrecked? If we can't get wrecked in here with Jesus, then what chance do you stand out in your community or in your homes or in your families? If you can't do it amongst your brothers and sisters, why can't you do it? How in the world are you going to do that in front of people that don't believe? You'll never get vulnerable. You'll never get weak. Matter of fact, you'll do the things that you said you wasn't going to do. This is a good message. I hope you let it permeate your heart and mind. Where are the 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Jesus was expecting 9. Did you see that? I wonder where Jesus stopped. I think about that all the time. I think about little stuff. You know, he healed them and he sent them away and they all took off running. There's a cloud of dust and they ran. I wonder how far Jesus went. I bet he didn't go very far at all. I'm saying that because I want you to know this. Jesus didn't go too far away from where he left you. You'll be surprised. You'll find Jesus probably sitting right where you heard the last word from him. Because, see, he turned around and he came back. And I bet right outside the gate, I bet Jesus hadn't even entered the gate yet. I bet he was just sitting there. And it was funny because the Samaritan thought, I bet I'll never find him. Nothing good like this happens to me over and over. No, I'll never find him. I see everything like a movie. I'm sorry. But maybe I see him like on a real flat straightaway, maybe a quarter mile outside of town. And he catches a glimpse. Oh, my God, he's sitting there. He's standing in the same place he was when he told us to go. My God, I can't believe he's so accessible. I can't believe it's this easy. I remember when I come to him, I'm like, I didn't know it was going to be this easy, Lord. I didn't think you was going to accept me that quickly. I thought it was going to be, I bet on the run back, Chris, he was kind of thinking about what he would say and do. But like when he caught a glimpse of Jesus still standing in the same place where he was at, he was thinking, forget all that. I think I'll just face plant and just tell him that I love him and just tell him I'm thankful. But the first question Jesus asked is, wasn't there 10 of you? Amen? Wasn't there 10 of you? And some of y'all are sitting here right now going, it's good for the pastor, or it's good for the preacher, or it's good for that kid that loves Jesus, or it's good for that one. No, he was expecting all of us. He was waiting. Listen, I know the first one came and fell on his face, but Jesus was still looking down the road for the other 9. When we read the story about the prodigal son, we always see Jesus was standing there and knew that he came to the Father, but guess what? The Father was always looking down the road. When will you come home? I hate that story being called the prodigal son. I hate it. It should be called the good father. Father was always ready to forgive the sons. He was waiting for the opportunity to. He was always looking for an opportunity. If you'll read in that scripture, that even the older son was outside the tent and he wasn't going to come in mad. Have any of you spiritual giants, have you ever been mad at God and you wasn't going to come in? That's a pose. Don't you love when you read that story that Jesus came outside the tent to him too? What are you doing out here? Amen. God reaches out to all of us. Verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Ain't that cool? It's the one nobody expected. Be that person that nobody expected. Wouldn't it be amazing if you surprised God? Some of y'all need to surprise God and some of your friends. Some of y'all been claiming Jesus for a long time. Wouldn't it be so amazing if all of a sudden some of your friends start going, hey, oh sis, she's got Jesus now. She's going all out for Jesus. Hey, so-and-so, you know, he used to go to church, but now I think the church got in him. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He goes, wait a minute. I was made whole. No. See, I made your flesh whole. I healed you. But guess what, friend? I healed your flesh. But there's going to be another day when your flesh fails. Everybody that got healed in the Bible, eventually they passed away. So the healing was great. But the healing was only a portrait of what God's trying to do in everybody's life. See, leprosy is a portrait of outward sin, and it corrodes the body, and it makes you have a death, a dying away, and a separation. But guess what? Jesus can take away from that. He can come and heal you and forgive you and cleanse the sin and bring you back. He said, one day, you're not going to die of leprosy, but you're going to die of something. So I'm going to make you whole. So see, God, I wish I'd get this. Right now, today, me and you, we're going to enter into the gate together. But one day, this is a temporal city. One day, me and you, we're walking into the new Jerusalem together. And you think this is good? You think this is exciting? You think this is something to run about? One day I'm going to walk you inside a city that'll make you cry. It'll make you worship and make you love me for a 10,000 year period as if it just began. If you're not, see, one thing that this broke out in me was, don't be ashamed of Jesus. If you got Jesus, don't be ashamed of him. If God's added some more time to your clock, take it as an extension and say, you know what? Devil, you messed up. God, you messed up because you thought I was annoying before. I'm giving you everything I got. I'm going to be a little bit louder now. I'm going to be a little bit more excited. I'm going to go a little bit harder. Amen? Because I've entered back into the city. But one day I'm coming into the city. Whew. Come on, Scott. Let us all stand. I like to think about heaven. Amen? I like to think about heaven. I like to preach about heaven. But not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven. And not everybody who cries out is going to heaven. It's the people who believe in Jesus Christ. It's the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. And they repent of their sins and ask him to be the Lord of their life. Those are the people that are going into heaven. So I ask you today, where do you stand with Jesus? I think Amanda Winkler hit it best right off the top of this message. She talked about people who are on the outside who people thought would never get saved. I believe there might be a couple people sitting in this room right now that people are kind of almost, they're almost at the point they're about ready to give up. Boy, but God ain't. And you find yourself again in the midst of the sanctuary, in the midst of the church. Wouldn't it be good if you just didn't go to the church, but you became the church? Come to the altar and make your declaration unto the Lord. Run to Jesus.